Good afternoon, everyone. Welcome to another great Commerce Talks GCC edition podcast. Today, we have Maya Kanuji on the podcast. She is the CEO of Bloomingwear, a Saudi-founded women's wear. So, Maya, thank you for coming on the podcast. And we are very glad to have you here because a lot of our audience wants to understand more about females in Saudi, fashion in Saudi, and you guys are doing a wonderful job in selling it online and selling it for the demographics that a lot of the Western brands, I would say, haven't managed to tap in yet. Welcome.
Thank you. Thank you very much for having me in today's talk, Alina.
Yeah. Now tell us a bit more about, so where did it come from, selling from female, from a female founder to the female target group, and maybe a bit more about your own background.
Yeah, first, of course, as Lina introduced me, I am the CEO of Bloomingwear, a proud Saudi brand with more than 36 stores in the kingdom, specialized in lingerie and apparel. On my personal journey, I come with over of 20 years of experience in the retail business, out of which 16 are in Saudi Arabia. My journey began, I believe, in childhood, which really shaped the way I am today. I developed a passion for business at an early stage, raised in a family business as well, established by my late father. I still recall the evenings I spent with him witnessing his efforts and hard work to build a great reputation of his brand. And I've learned from him the importance of details, that success comes from hard work. When it comes to retail, I'm proud to say that I was coached by the visionary George Davis, legend in the fashion industry, where I learned from him retail is detail, which is one of his own quotes, by the way, and that listening to all comments, whether coming from employees or customers, are the cornerstones for success. So this is how my retail journey started, at the beginning in fashion with kids and women's wear, and then it got diversified into another brand in perfume and then jewelry, and finally now with Blooming in lingerie and loungewear. This diversification in experience across the different retail sectors and my involvement in various functions within the industry allowed me to become the CEO today. And as you said, females working in this industry was a critical change. As you might know, in 2010-2011, there was a decision of feminizing the lingerie industry in Saudi Arabia, where before that, men used to sell lingerie, which was a bit, a very tough business to operate in Saudi Arabia, given the cultural restrictions. So with this change in 2011, with feminization in the lingerie, it started to develop quite strongly the local lingerie brands. In 2016, we have established Blooming. Now with almost 8 years, we have 36 stores in the kingdom. And it has been a great experience to be able to not only sell to women, but also design to women, because we are in Saudi, we do all our design, all our planning is done here. We listen to our customers, we do research groups, we listen to our employees, and we are quite fast in tailoring to their needs.
Can I ask a stupid question here from a non-Saudi, non-female customer? So I understood in the podcast I've recorded so far with Lina that one of the challenges, like in Saudi retail, is that even in brick and mortar retail, where you have like 36 stores, you have a return issue, because usually the customers are not coming into the store and like go to the dressing rooms and test it out, but because of like cultural backgrounds, they rather take it home and keeps the stuff they want to buy, especially in assortments you are selling, which made me believe that then e-commerce must be like the superior channel, because you save store costs and still you have returns, because like in all the other countries, usually e-commerce people complain there's so many returns and it's like driving the costs, and then brick and mortar people say, in my business there's no returns. It's much more efficient. So can you shed some light here how it works out, and how is it maybe changing now?
Definitely, it has been a huge challenge when it comes to lingerie because you have two challenges here. One, we were not allowed to have fitting rooms. It's not like the customers would not go to a fitting room. We were not allowed in our stores to have fitting rooms for the cultural reasons, which have changed now, and I will tap into that in a moment. And at the same time, lingerie cannot be returned. So the customer, even if they buy a wrong bra size or a wrong panty, they're stuck in it. They have to take it home, try it. If it doesn't fit, they cannot return it, which obviously affect a lot, you know, the sales of any lingerie brand. And this is where the importance of a brand loyalty and quality. So the customers will start their experience in the stores. They will make sure that the quality is right. The knowledgeable staff are very important, staff that will make every woman feel comfortable and give them the right guide in terms of sizing. We do try, even without fitting room, to do the sizes above the abaya to support the woman in finding their own sizes. And once she finds her size with the right brand, the right fit and quality, then loyalty is very high. They will keep on coming back. And actually, we found them becoming a very high online spenders. Because once she knows her bra size, she will buy that bra in all the different colors she wants, in all the different styles she wants as well. So that challenge, if the brand can tackle it properly and do the right sizes and customer service, it can turn into a very huge success, because it will not be easy to convince any customer to change the brand of the choice when it comes to lingerie, specifically in Saudi Arabia. Now, recently, we started to have fitting rooms directly after COVID, actually. For Blooming, we're allowing customers to try and fit any product they would like to have, taking, of course, very hygiene measures when it comes to, you know, how to use it and how to try it. However, many other lingerie brands do not allow the fitting of a bra and panties or swimwear. They allow only the pajamas, which also, of course, will always create that challenge for any lingerie business.
It's very interesting how you explain, you know, the challenges. And I think for a lot of listeners, this is like a first time they even heard it, you know, and that's what we love, you know, having this podcast. So we share all this experience. But I think majority of the listeners that are listening, they're like, yes, it's a great brand. So maybe you can explore a bit more about the categories that you are stocking. And when you define it, maybe you can bring a bit like, what does it compare mostly to the European or American, you know, because we all know Victoria's Secrets and all of that. But how are you maybe different and how are you the same? You know, are you getting any inspiration from the global lingerie brands or everything comes just from within the country and it's completely different?
Yeah, our slogan is with you along the way. So we try to provide products that will cater all her needs across throughout all her journey. So from her first teenage bra to the pajama she wants to get with her, you know, sleepovers. Also her first faith wear, which, you know, is not comparable to any other European or local brand, to be honest. We are the only lingerie brand that sells faith wear. So this is where we're talking about the outfits that we wear while we are praying during the day. So that was like something totally surprising to everyone, that a lingerie brand, sexy items, can also be selling at the same time with faith wear, products that women would wear during their prayer times. But we saw this as a great opportunity because we couldn't find any other retailer that would sell this very important outfit that women wear five times a day. No one is taking care of their quality, of the design, making them look unique and special. So that alone brought us, you know, a very strong business. And I believe that was the beginning success of Blooming, because that differentiated us from every local and international player in Saudi Arabia. And also we offer, of course, nightwear, loungewear, and we are starting, you know, in terms of fashion strategy, we're starting to design loungewear that are also good for outwear. So we are working on, for example, kimonos that she can wear at home with her friends, but also she can wear as a trendy, fashionable abaya, colorful, with all the younger customers being interested in that. Or, for example, lounge sets that can be great for travel, very comfortable, good quality, and comfort is one of our main values. So we do offer so many categories that we cannot be compared to one brand. We are more or less a combination of different brands when it comes to lingerie, loungewear, and apparel, trying even to get a mommy and me look, jalabiyas and kaftan during Ramadan and Hajj. So we want her to come and find everything she needs. When she's a bride, she can get all the bridal outfits she wants, with the feather, with the, you know, like the white garments. Maternity, we have special outfits for her, whether it's for the reception or when, having the baby, nursing bra, nursing outfits. So like we take care of all her moments during the, you know, her lifetime, her journey.
Maybe I'd like to add one stupid other question here, because you've talked about the kimonos and the other stuff. One other thing that I found interesting about the region is that usually you don't bring like too many friends to your home. Sometimes you have even like day villas or like places where you could invite like all your friends to watch like a football game for example. Does it lead like to an extra category of clothes? Because you said it might be a kimono which you wear like among your usually female friends. When you're a woman, you have like female friends coming home, so you have like a dress for work, maybe a dress for leisure time outside, then you have like dresses for home. So is it kind of a creating a new consumption category, or am I still behind and this all has changed already and everybody's like inviting everybody to their homes?
No, definitely modest wear is becoming more and more in demand, where women are would need to be modest in their home and even in the gathering outside. Because as you said, Alex, even when we welcome friends at home, we are quite modest in how we wear. Like we like long sleeves, comfy outfits. And at the same time, with younger generations becoming more open to the fashion and less restricted with the black abaya, so they are also trying to style those kimonos and those loungewear outfits to become more convenient or more suitable for outwear as well. And we are seeing most of our bestsellers are a product that can work for both indoor and outdoor, inside the house and outside the house. Like we are sometimes surprised by seeing some lingerie dresses, to be honest, being bought by brides for their bridal party, which we don't see in social media. We don't, as expats, you will not be hearing it, but it is happening among, you know, like the young females.
Mm. Okay, and I believe like during the introduction of the business model, we haven't gotten into detail about like the offline online share. So because of the age of the business, you've started like rather early. I understand that the brick and mortar focus was there. Is it still the case, or is like online now faster growing somehow, or is it interconnected into omnichannel?
Yeah, in terms of growth, definitely e-com and online is growing faster than brick and mortars. We have quite a strong growth because we are a young brand with a quite strong potential. But online is growing like for like in a very steady and stronger than all the brick and mortars. However, brick and mortars still represent 90% of our retail business. E-com is only 10% as a share. We started together, like our website started along the way with the stores, but as I said, given how sensitive is the industry where we operate, having brick and mortars is very critical, because customers want to see the quality of the fabric, the fitting, make sure that it is the right brand. This is the brand for me when it comes to such an important item as lingerie or loungewear. And then they start buying online. Of course, we see the potential of the online business within the next 3 years to become 25% of the business. This is what we are working on. And that's why we have recently launched our application as well, so that it will provide a more customized journey, easier, more convenient to our customers.
It's funny how you say, you know, that the ambition for the e-commerce is there, but the customers are still preferring, you know, to come and see the product.
I think in Saudi it will remain the case, because always going to the mall has been our fun activity. This is something that we love to do every weekend. We will never stop doing it. We like to go shop in the malls, live the experience, and now with the stores becoming more personalized, having music, screens, the experience is much better than before. So I believe it is very important for every Saudi customer to, you know, to have a physical store. Not to mention that in the past, we used to search the brand online and then go to the store to buy. I think today customers are browsing the store, but then buying online. You know what I mean? They're like discovering the brand through the physical outlets. But then if they want to buy, they will go online, they will make sure it's private, they can get all the sizes they want, even limited collections. It's very convenient. Sometimes many retailers would offer special offers as well for online. So all of that is very important in the experience.
Can you elaborate my why, actually? Do you think it's the trust? Because from my experience working with the Saudi brands, I think that it's still the trust element. Very important. You know, when they think they see the brand in the mall, it kind of builds them that trust that it's a real brand. And or do you think that, because I think also another strength you have is a very good price positioning, right? So it's kind of tapping into that whole middle market, you know, which is majority of Saudis. So can you elaborate, like, how do you, like, why do you think, you know, they're still preferring to come in? Why store is so important for you? And then how do you acquire them customers? So do you like ads, you know, social media, or you actually invest in the traditional marketing, which is newspapers and maybe like TV channel?
Yeah. I think, as you said, trust is very important. It's not very easy to gain the trust of a Saudi customer, that's for sure. It will need a lot of brand strategy, strong marketing efforts, the quality of the product, and the right price positioning. And especially when we're talking about a brand like ours, where you know we are quite affordable in terms of a price positioning. So the customer want to examine and see how does this product look like and how is the fabric before buying it. And since COVID and with the recession that happened afterwards, all the customers became more price sensitive. They are comparing a lot the prices of the product from one retailer to another. They're well aware. They're not spending any more without, you know, rationally thinking about the value of that product and understanding how they will use it and how often they can use. So it's becoming more of an investment rather than an impulse buying. So as important as the decision, they prefer to go and see it in the stores. And also talking to staff, having this relation, asking about the origin of the brand, where is this product manufactured, if you have my size. This journey is still important for all the Saudi customers, and it will create the trust to the brand that is building up the future of online for sure.
Can you elaborate a bit more about like international competition? Because like many non-Saudi companies obviously say, okay, there must be a lot of like rich people in Saudi, so let's sell into KSA. Chinese companies obviously are moving fast now with like Temu and Shein, but also other like international companies like Amazon are trying to set foot there, trying to create a customer relation also in fashion, where people usually would like to touch the fabric first, but somehow they manage it and then keep the relationship. So can you speak a bit more about the competitive situation, how it changed over the last years maybe?
Yeah, of course, like I agree with you. We do have like income spenders. We have a growing middle class in Saudi Arabia, which definitely is a great opportunity for any retailer, whether local or international, to come and, be a player in this great market. However, the consumers are very conscious. Like you cannot sell them anything. Like there was this misconception that whatever you put into the stores can sell in Saudi Arabia because, yeah, they are very rich, they have the money. It's this is not true. It's you need to have the right combination. I must say that brand is very important and it's growing of importance day after day. So companies who are not taking care of their brand's strategy, being emotionally connected to their customers, creating a story to tell, is becoming more and more important for the future of any brand. When it comes to us as a local brand, I would not specify like who would be the international players we compete with. You have mentioned a couple of them. But as I said, our comprehensive offer is making us distinguished. And also there is this rise in the national pride that most of the customers are having, like by discovering the fact that we are Saudi founded, that we are designing products specifically for the Saudi market, that we understand their needs more than any other international player, I must say. Like other players would not understand how Ramadan is being phased. Like we have four different phases of Ramadan. Every week we have a different product release that will come just to fit the occasions that will happen on a weekly basis. This type of details, only brands who are in Saudi would understand it. Over time, there is a definite change in the preference of customers of local versus international. Like I've been working in this industry for the last 16 years, and I saw local brands who were trying to say that they are French, they're coming from Europe, in order to gain the appeal, the market appeal in Saudi, because customers did not want to buy from a Saudi brand. They wanted to buy from European American brands. Today, it's a totally different story. And that's why, you know, we are really growing very well, because we are offering the services and the products that customers would see in international brands, but we are made in Saudi, you know, like in terms of design. So the customers are very happy to be buying something that is from their own country and that look quite international and can sell in international markets as well.
So as an omnichannel, no, as we are on the e-commerce sort of podcast, and you know, I think we had quite a few speakers recently that emphasized that international brands actually do not understand the local consumer or local demands, or they choose not to invest in local photos, local.
Yeah, they think it's not important. They think it's not important. Yeah.
So clearly, definitely, I think you know, just as you said, the pray wear, like, you know, what females are wearing during pray time, you know, like, I think even details like that, you know, you're absolutely right. You know, I work with international lingerie brands, and not one even asked me, what am I thinking, or like, who is doing it locally in this, you know? So you're 100% right. So maybe you can elaborate more on omnichannel initiatives that you have. Do you offer click and collect, or, you know, do you have like sort of CRM system that people subscribe to the details in the stores? Like, how do you make sure that, you know, customer is at the center between various channels?
Yeah. So, of course, with the launch of the application, we are also launching click and collect in the stores. We don't see yet that it will be like the biggest contributor to the growth of e-com. Not yet, because as I said, people who buy online would like their orders to come to their house, you know, at the convenience of their house. However, we have done recently quite a lot of initiatives in order to make the offline journey seamless and very much similar to how convenient is the online journey. We have partnered recently with MishiPay, where we were offering to the customers to check out in the stores using their own mobile. So using their own mobile, they were able to scan the products and then continue the checkout journey exactly like e-commerce, you know, like through a website. That was like quite a new experience for us and for the customers. And I think it allowed faster checkout and customers who don't like to queue or to have like an interaction directly with the staff can use it. And as you said, Lina, we do have a loyalty program where we capture all the database of our customers, and then we send targeted emails, SMS, and also we use AI in our website so that we can target our customers and lookalike customers as well, so that we expand our, you know, our customer base.
So how big can it get in Saudi? So how many stores, how many like employees? So like in a really scaled kind of setup. And if it's scaled, is it then a brand that even other countries in the region would prefer to buy? I don't know, Egypt, for example, Jordan. So like,
For how is our current model? We are expecting in the next 3 years that we will reach 50 stores in Saudi Arabia. However, we also have the vision of making the brand more of a department store. So we have started, as I mentioned earlier, with the kits. And recently with Valentine, we started also to tap into him and her. So we're trying to see how Blooming can cater the whole family, not only the ladies. So with this vision in place, definitely the number of stores can become not only more numerous, but also bigger. Talking or answering your question about international, yes, we do believe that the model will work outside Saudi Arabia. And actually, we are currently receiving many requests from GCC countries specifically, where we share a lot of similar cultural and religious backgrounds. So faithwear will definitely make a lot of sense there as well. Kaftan, jalabiyas, kimonos, all of that is very, very comparable. And we see we already have customers from Kuwait, UAE, Qatar, Oman, several GCC countries that visit either our flagship stores in Mecca, Abu Rajabit. We have like 400 square meter store where, you know, people from around the world are coming from Turkey, Uzbekistan, Egypt, Jordan, that you have mentioned, and also online is catering internationally. So we are putting in our business plan to expand first in the GCC region and probably later on the bigger MENA region as well.
Yeah, and also I think you should definitely look into Europe, you know, because it's definitely the growing category, you know. Like I think, as you said, like even acknowledging Ramadan, sort of like cultural norms and what females would wear during different occasion. I feel like it's from praying to the celebration every single day. You need three different or four different outfits, you know, throughout just from living in the region. So maybe now dropping more from the business model to more how you operate. A lot of the Western brands and then the people I talk, maybe there is a misunderstanding that we are buying everything in terms of technology, biggest marketing solutions and all of that. Can you elaborate more like on the team side? You know, do you rely on contractors? Do you have your own tech team in-house? Like, how are you positioning this e-commerce in the first place? And is it something like you are heavily investing or more like traditional retailers that are first thinking of profitability and then they just investment after it?
Yeah, at the beginning, definitely we were more focused on profitability. So we started with a smaller in-house team and more reliance on consultants or other, you know, technical agencies that will be either based locally or internationally. However, as the business is now growing, we saw the importance of having our own team in-house. And this was the plan of 2024 with the launch of the application to invest into a bigger technical team in-house that will be able to, you know, to support faster, because as the business is growing, the number of orders are almost quadrupling from last year. So there is a need of having more focus and more attention in the brand. But I must say at the beginning, yes, we started very small, not only on an e-com perspective, but overall as a business. You know, we are growing very fast. Our number of employees are growing year on year, but we started with a very small base. And we are trying to keep everything like the solid infrastructure that we built. We are trying to keep it. So it's not always about the quantity and the growth in resources, rather than having the right resources and the proper management to manage those resources.
Yeah. And then so I think it's interesting also like the talent. So you said that you are having everything in sort of in Saudi Arabia. So maybe you can elaborate more like, where is the talent coming? Do you have some talent growing programs, you know, and all this Saudization initiative that the government is pushing it? How are you approaching it? And even lingerie design in the kingdom, I think I could only applaud you. This is a challenge on its own, you know, whatsoever about running the business on top of that.
By Saudi designers, I must say, like all our designs are being designed by Saudi hands, by Saudi designers, young female designers whom we have recruited a couple of years ago. They were like graduated from design schools, especially here in Jeddah. Like there was like only one one design school in Jeddah that supported the design major for many young ladies. So most of those young ladies have graduated from the design schools. We were their first job. We worked together. We used like samples, our ideas. We really worked full hands on in order to support them to grow. They're very creative, very innovative. I, you know, like throughout my journey in Saudi Arabia, I'm so proud that I have mentored and coached so many Saudi ladies that I see them now head of departments and leaders in several companies. They are so ambitious, so hardworking, so much wanting to catch up on all the time that, you know, they have lost in the past when they were not working. So when it comes to Blooming, as I said, all our designers, we also have very strong buyers who are the ones who negotiate, source, ship, make sure that the product is in its final great state, quality, packaging. All of that is done by our in-house team. This is, I see it more of like a great opportunity rather than a challenge because, you know, we understand the market better. Being with them gives me as a CEO a very fresh perspective and always very close to the market. So we can directly feel if there is a new trend coming in. Like they will tell me this Ramadan during our gathering, ladies were wearing this type of kimono. Let's do something similar. And we can, in like just 3 months, have it in our stores. So that, speed in being very proactive and reactive to our market is possible only because we have these talents. Of course, Blooming also attract talents from international background. We have quite a lot of diversity between Arab, European, Asian, also talents. We are proud they are work in the head office across all the different departments. But of course, all our stores are 100% Saudis. All our area managers are Saudis. And they all started with us. Like most of our area managers started as a sales lady in 2017. And then they grew with us to become store manager. And we coached them and mentored them to become area managers today. Every year in May, we celebrate Blooming anniversary, but also the anniversary of so many employees, especially, you know, the females ones. I have to say we are mainly women dominated in the office and in the stores, with like almost 90% of our talents are ladies. So we celebrate every year our anniversary and at the same time the anniversary of so many employees that joined us, you know, from our first store.
I have a question regarding reaching new customers online. Maybe Lina told you we are writing now on a book project on the platform economy. And obviously the very big platforms are rushing into the market. And let's take a new one. Let's assume TikTok Shop will move into Saudi next year and they will offer kind of their own interface towards the customer. And they will come to you and say, hey, you have a super nice brand. And like we have like many, many, many interested customers on our platform. Would you like to, we would like you to put your product data on TikTok Shop so people can also shop within TikTok. Obviously, it's maybe like a different range of customers, but there's like different pros and cons here. So what would be your initial reaction? Is it something you would say, cool, reaching out to me? Definitely, I want to be there. Or no, I don't trust those platforms. I all want the customers in my shops and my online platform.
Yeah, I would definitely say yes. I would not, you know, like social media is very important in Saudi Arabia. Most of our marketing spent is happening across, you know, social media channels. Like traditional marketing is not gaining it anymore, especially when it comes to conversions and engagement with the customer. Social media is important. The game is different. In the last couple of years, influencers were the most influential. Today, the content that is in social media is more important than the influencers themselves. So if TikTok would reach us, yes, I would say we're open for that opportunity because we are a young brand and we are trying to target the young customers. We want to keep the customers who started with us the journey, but also we want to target the teenagers, the new brides of today by making, you know, our product closer to them. And TikTok is definitely, and Instagram as well, like most of those channels are very important to reach those customers and tell your story as a brand, because as I said, product is nothing without the story behind. Stories are very important, and with Generation Z, it's becoming more and more important. By when you understand, you know, how picky they are in the choice of their brands.
Nice. So you would say yes to TikTok. What about your other existing marketplaces that exist in the market? So like Noon, Namshi, Amazon, what's your take? You know, because majority of, let's say, big European brands that I work with, they're trying to think of the exit strategy now, or they're using these marketplaces as a, let's say, to get rid of
liquidation.
Yeah.
And it's happening. It's happening a lot, especially in 2023. I'm sure you are aware about many brands being either closing or sold out to other retailers, which is causing, you know, quite a lot of mess in terms of promotion and price strategy in the industry. So with those market players, you know, like, we're open for the collaboration. However, Blooming needs to get the proper attention. Not to be considered, you know, like of a smaller player in comparison to those big players that have the stock and, you know, like they just want to liquidate. So we prefer to play on our own platform if we don't receive the proper attention and the proper strategy with other market players like Amazon, Noon or Namshi. We do respect them, but, you know, we should have, you know, like quite a special team, special account, which we see when it comes to commercial, they're quite strong. They like to get more brands into their platform. But sadly, the journey later on becomes not great, so that I don't see anything more.
Okay. E-commerce 1.0 is over. Okay. That's something maybe we can talk about in the book, Lina. But I'm pretty sure May will confirm our assumptions from...
I see Lina is happy. She's smiling.
Yeah.
It is definitely very important. That's why, you know... It will take less work and less operations if we can partner with marketplaces. But sadly, it's becoming not that of a great experience. So owning or your own channel and investing more is higher in terms of ROI, better in terms of customer service, for sure. You are sure that you are transmitting your brand values to the customers in a better way.
Okay, so I just have two questions left for the podcast, and then maybe Alex has another 20, but we'll see. One thing is about the data. So, which I believe, you know, one of the, you know, as we are talking on these marketplaces, they don't share the data, and we all, I think, suffer from that, you know, when it comes from growing even e-commerce, the share, market share. So can you elaborate more? How are you guys doing in terms of, I know, like, e-commerce KPI analysis within your team. Are you looking at paid marketing performance weekly? Are you kind of letting just be, you know, and saying, hey, we trust the agencies? Like, can you elaborate more? You are very data-driven or more like sort of market sense-driven?
Yeah. In terms of analysis, we're quite very much into data. Like, we analyze all our KPIs for offline and online on weekly basis. And of course, capturing more customers is very important because, as I said, we are currently growing in terms of brand. So ensuring that we gain a bigger market share is very important. As you said, Lina, in the last couple of years, it has been difficult to get the data of females specifically. Like, they would be reluctant of sharing their personal information. This also is changing. It's getting better, I must say. It's still not 100% there where we want to be so that we can target all our customers. But at least we are starting to capture, I would say, 70% of our customers in the store. So we can start analyzing their behavior, targeting them, understanding, you know, like how frequently they come to our stores and how can we increase that frequency. And of course, with the launching of a special loyalty program that will not only give them discounts and points redemption, but also will give them the extra bits like attending special events, being the first to know about a sale, about a product, receiving a gift from the brand. All of that are being like an incentive for them to provide their data.
Nice. And the last one. So what advice would you give for the brand coming to the region and also to Saudi Arabia? So I'm sure, you know, you will encounter competition, you know, that's inevitable. So for the brands that are looking into the market, you know, we are seeing from, let's say, global media that it's growing, the footballers are going there, investment is going there. But on reality, on the ground, like you and me operate, we see that middle class still has a small share of wallet that they can spend on, let's say, just shopping, right? You know, because groceries and all these. And now you have entertainment to cope with. So I would say if 3 years retail had a bigger market, a bigger share of the wallet than today, because Saudi consumers are splitting the spend between restaurants, concerts, cinema, and it's very small proportion left for retail. So are you seeing that trend? And then what advice would you give for the brands that are trying to enter the market?
Yeah, there are definitely much more entertaining activities for our customers than going and visiting the mall. That was the case in 2014 and 2015 for sure. And we do see like all the success of the Riyadh season, Jeddah season, how it affects whether positively or negatively some brands. It can be very positive and it can be negative. So my advice to every new player in the market is, one, please don't make any assumptions. Don't listen to things that were used in the media in the past. Saudi has really changed and is continuously changing. And which brings me to the other advice, have your local people on the ground to listen to both the customers and the staff. What worked or what work outside Saudi Arabia does not necessarily work or does not work. So you need to listen to people to understand what's happening in the market and be closer to your customers, and creating, you know, the right bonding with the customer through marketing campaigns, being more local, showing that you care by having a Ramadan window, for example, which many brands a couple of years ago were reluctant to do it. Having a special Ramadan window to your customers will definitely make them feel closer to the brand. And you will need to create entertaining activities that will compete with all those concerts and, restaurants and whatever sports. So today when we do events, for example, we combine everything. We bring a celebrity, we bring music on board, dancers. It has to be a complete show. It's not anymore just cutting the ribbon and opening the store and everything will be fine. No, you have to think further than that in order to attract the right customers to your brand.
Mm. Okay, my last question would be, now we're understanding your business model a bit better, and you're saying you're located in Riyadh. So how good is Riyadh as a hub for starting businesses in KSA? Is it similar to Berlin, Lisbon, whatever hubs, or is it a bit more complicated to get to other co-founders and to similar minded entrepreneurs?
As I said, you need to have people who are experienced in the market with you if you are totally fresh and new in the market, to be honest, because there are definitely many differences between Saudi and European markets when it comes to legislations, what is allowed, what is not allowed in the mall, understanding what is the right locations as well, which like having the right location for retail is very important for any brand. So understanding where we should be located, where the traffic, what's happening, the seasonality of the business, the importance of the pay week, for the business, all of these will require someone local to take your hands and support you. However, the journey is becoming more and more exciting. So definitely Riyadh or Jeddah, because as I was telling Galina, our head office is in Jeddah, but we are expanding in Riyadh quite aggressively now with all the changes that are happening in the city. So the business is very attractive, appealing. The return on investment will be very strong. We're very optimistic about the future for both cities, whether Riyadh or Jeddah. So definitely I do recommend businesses to enter the market, but they need to have a local guide, someone who would understand the customers and local people as well.
What about the other third city where I think Saudi Aramco headquarters is on the close to Bahrain? Is it not interesting?
Eastern region.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's quite interesting, but it's still very, it's smaller as a city than Riyadh and Jeddah in terms of both demographic and income spending. In the past, when, you know, like going to Bahrain was quite a luxury for most of the people living in Saudi, now going to Riyadh is what we want to do. So it's in the past, we used to see flights every weekend from Riyadh, Jeddah, Khobar to Bahrain so that they go to the cinema, they go to concerts. Today, everything is here. We have our own cinemas, we have concerts. So why to travel? So this definitely made Riyadh and Jeddah bigger and more attractive as cities than Eastern region. But I do see in the next couple of years, the potential will be also big in Eastern region. I'm hearing like many big projects happening in terms of mall management in Khobar and Dammam. So many new malls are being built, but that will require like a couple of years to open.
Very cool. So next time, definitely, I'm trying to visit one of your stores, and we're going to see in one of the next Seamless Dubai or Riyadh events, I guess. So
definitely.
Thank you, Lina, for making the connection, enjoying this. And thank you for your very forward-looking statement when it comes to the platform economy. We will reflect it in the book, I hope. Lina, if you agree.
Great. I'm happy to read that.
We'll send you as a gift, you know, for sure.
Yeah. Thank you. Thank you very much, Lina and Alex, for having me in this podcast.